And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose. What up, dog? I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in, together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do? We give the people what they want. Jalen, here's one thing I learned last night about Joel Embiid. He really responds to negative criticism. He really likes negative reinforcement. Remember when he was booed before? Then he dunked and got everybody back? Well, last night, the Sixers gave up a huge lead to the Hawks, and they were booed as they started the fourth quarter. So what did Joel Embiid do? He went off, sealed the game, finished with a career-high 49 points. Jalen Rose, what do you think about this performance from Joel Embiid?
It was a terrific performance. I love to see him playing with productivity and aggression, attacking the paint, contesting and or blocking every shot, going after every rebound on both backboards, playing big, playing physical. That's what I like to see him doing, getting rim runs, getting duck ins, getting catches on the box. That's what I appreciated the most about his game. The whole psychological part and the personality of how he performs and talks to the media, that's really just the showmanship of Joel Embiid. That doesn't minimize that when he played against the Greek Freak, the Bucks and that team had their way against the Sixers. So Now you're playing against the Hawks. There's no Ben Simmons. It's an opportunity for you to get more touches and for you to play the way you did. And yes, he was dominant on their home floor, getting a win versus the lottery bound Hawks.
Well, you mentioned no Ben Simmons, and that is definitely a concern for the Sixers because Ben Simmons is out, not with like a sprained ankle or something that you understand. He's out with a back ailment that still hasn't necessarily been described. We don't know what the timetable is. How concerning is this back injury for Ben Simmons and the Sixers?
I'm extremely concerned because we talk so much about Ben Simmons not attempting shots outside of the paint and only making a couple of three-point attempts in his career. That would be the equivalent of a power back who constantly only ran between the tackles. You're taking a different pounding. And so he continues to drive to the basket constantly and contort his body. He jumps awkwardly so many times off the wrong foot, wrong hand, and vice versa. He's really a terrific finisher, almost ambidextrous around the hoop. So based on those twists and those movements for a guy that's dealing with a back injury at his age, you hope that it's something that they can start to heal, that it doesn't become recurring.
Absolutely. And I think that people always, they always know about Simmons' playmaking and what he does on offense, but specifically this season, he has been so good on defense, they're really going to miss Ben Simmons. And as we get closer to the playoffs, this back thing is bad. You know what I mean? Because hopefully he doesn't need a procedure. Hopefully we find out that just a little bit of rest, but they need Ben Simmons for sure. Jalen, we had another interesting game in the Eastern Conference. That was between the Bucks and the Wizards. Sure, the Bucks won in overtime, but it wasn't Giannis carrying the Bucks. It was Chris Middleton, who had 40 points, an efficient 40 points. Jalen, how much do they need Middleton to establish himself as a true second option on offense for them to make a title run?
So the great thing about playing alongside of a superstar and being the second best player or most productive player, I enjoyed that opportunity alongside Reggie Miller, a Hall of Famer, is for Chris Middleton, you have a chance to be an all-star or perform like a perennial all-star. And we saw that with D'Angelo Russell last year. He was in the East and he was an all-star, but when he got to the West, he wasn't. Middleton established himself as a legitimate perennial Eastern Conference all-star. And so when he's playing against teams in that conference, he's going to have chances to put up numbers like this, especially when the Greek Freak fouls out. And Not to take any away from two All-Stars, Joel Embiid is going to be All-NBA. I'm a voter, and I anticipate that happening. And Chris Middleton, they were going against the Hawks and the Wizards. So you want those two teams to win those games, and you want guys to perform well and show up. That's what Chris Middleton did for me. He continues to show me that he's a perennial Eastern Conference All-Star playing in Milwaukee alongside the Greek Freak.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Wizards because something interesting is happening with that team. Bradley Beal scored 53 against the Bulls, and then the very next night in this game, he had 55. However, both of those 50 pieces came in losses for the Wizards. Bradley Beal's been discussed a little bit in trade talks. So my question for you is this, is if you are the Wizards GM or the Wizards president or the Wizards owner, do you want to build around Bradley Beal or do you want to trade him while his value is high and completely rebuild the franchise?
I'm going to let you know why I'm clapping.
Okay.
Because Bradley Beal, when I'm holding a remote control in my hand and watching league pass, whether his team is going to the lottery and he's not making the All-Star team, or last year when he did make the All-Star team, or playing alongside John Wall and his team is making the playoffs, losing to the Boston Celtics, I appreciate that he shows up to perform every night. In an era of low management and teams actively trying to tank, the Washington Wizards are getting it honestly because their best player has scored 55 points back-to-back days, and no player has ever done that. Jacoby, in 9 or 10 of his highest scoring outputs this year, they've only won one of those games. And they're like 1-9 and 1-10 in his 10 highest scoring games this year, which means he's showing up to bring it, and I applaud that on a nightly basis.
Of course. Jalen, sometimes things happen in sports or pop culture where we need your expertise, your wisdom, and we rely on your experience. So now it's time for you to take us behind the curtain. Jalen, you know Diamondbacks pitcher Madison Bumgarner, but there's something about Madison Bumgarner that you don't know. He uses a fake name to participate in rodeos and go cattle roping. Now, Jalen, I know you use a fake name sometimes too. Most specifically in Uber. Whenever I go to the Uber, I say, oh, you got Uber for Jalen? They're like, no, it's not for Jalen. You use aliases. Take us behind the curtain. Why do super famous people use fake names all the time?
So, bringing you behind the curtain, I gotta acknowledge something. It ain't even super famous people. It's a lot of times when you don't have to use your government name, you just don't.
Why?
That's all. It's just something that you don't do. It's like you're protecting your identity in a lot of ways. It's like walking around saying your social security number when you don't have to. That's all. And so for Madison, he has established himself as a terrific pitcher that's got an $80 million deal, but he has a hobby of participating in rodeos. It's one thing if everybody knows who I am. It's another thing if I could be incognito. If I could choose the latter, I would always do so, especially as a baseball player, whereas if you now get injured or something, it's going to affect your bottom line.
Jalen, have you ever gone cattle roping?
Absolutely not. Hey, I'm not proud of this. I haven't gone fishing. So of course fishing I ain't gone either. Cattle roping.
I've only gone fishing once in my life. I've only ridden on a horse once in my life. Jalen, have you ever ridden a horse? Oh, I've seen you on a horse.
I have ridden a horse.
I feel bad for that horse. I feel bad for that horse, man. That horse looked at you and was like, I don't want these props. I do not want these props.
I got to tell you something funny.
What?
And that's why I'm laughing. And when I was riding a horse, that was Kangaroo Jalen. So that was two wildlife, livestock animals, you know, stacked on top of one another.
Jalen Rose, it's now been several games since the Rockets traded Clint Capella and sort of just committed to the small ball lifestyle. Well, they've won 4 games in a row, all by double digits. Jalen, what do you think about the small ball Rockets' success?
I'm not surprised by it. If you know the league and pay attention to the architects, Dale Murray and Mike D'Antoni, they've always been committed to shooting the three and playing fast and the percentages of balancing those, getting layups and getting to the free throw line. So those lineups have continued to get small over the years that both of those guys helped oversee, whether it was their development league team or the NBA team, because they're as focused on the system and then catering the players to the system versus bringing in players that they feel like don't fit the system, even if they can be tall and be able to make some plays in the game that height just brings you, that being a small player doesn't afford you to do. And it also unlocks spacing for Russell Westbrook, who isn't an efficient three-point shooter. You now give him an opportunity to have bigger driving lanes and in turn make it easier for James Harden, because now he has a dynamic duo and they're both being productive, and now he could get nights like this. And again, third bad team we're going to talk about versus the Knicks, he's able to shoot over 50% and get you 9 assists.
So I looked up James Harden scoring this year. He's averaging right now 35.3 points a game. 35 points a game is his average. Are we taking his scoring dominance for granted?
I think the average fan may. The MVP voters will. But you and I don't. Because the last two seasons, I voted for James Harden to be MVP. So I can't say that I underrate his greatness at all. So many times, and you know this, as the playground rec league expert that you are, we used to always joke about somebody averaging 35, but a lot of times they might average 20, 24. Like, he's really doing it. Like, he's really averaging 35. Yes. Like, that's MJ all-time great type territory.
It really is. And, you know, obviously we'll really find out about these small ball Rockets in the playoffs. And one of the teams that they might face in the playoffs is the Clippers. And the Clippers did something that we haven't seen them do for a long time, Jalen Rose. You know what that is? They had all their players. They had Pat Bev back. They had Paul George back. They played their entire team. Jalen, how important is it for them to get more time to all play together before they get ready for the playoffs?
That was a terrific performance by the Clippers. And while the Grizzlies are in the eighth spot, they were playing without their second best player in Jaren Jackson Jr., their interior presence that gives them so much flexibility and versatility up front. And in watching this game, before I get to the Clippers real quick, I came to a revelation that the Grizzlies, they're not holding that eighth spot.
Oh.
They're not holding that eighth spot.
Oh.
The Pelicans and Zion coming to get that spot.
You think so?
They're coming to get that spot. And you know Ja's my guy, but Jackson is hurt. Jackson is hurt. Dylan Brooks has been struggling shooting the ball. And the Clippers, you know, made their defense look like Swiss cheese. Like everybody was making plays versus their squad. You just showed the Kawhi Leonard, Dr. J type takeoff, and watching it live, I'm thinking he gonna go with the right and the defense come and he just freaking and go with the left. Paul George gets him off to a good start, making a jump shot mid-range, and then they do a down screen for him, and he make a three in the right corner, and then you get all of the players that come in off the bench, Montrezl Harrell getting duck-ins and getting lobs over the top for dunks, and then Morris came in and made a couple of plays. Reggie Jackson got involved, dropped a dime to Lou Will, who made a jump shot, so they were firing on all cylinders. Zubac was blocking shots and contesting at the rim. So that was the collection of the Clippers that made me feel like they also are my favorites officially, Jacoby, when they're healthy, to win the NBA championship this year.
Oh, well, we'll see just how healthy they will be. It was good to see them all on the floor together. Jalen, it's now time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Well, during the All-Star break, it gives the NBA players, even if they are All-Stars, an opportunity to get away, you know, get a little stamp on the passport. And we've seen this happen once before. Once before, we have seen Paul George go on vacation internationally and wear his own jersey. Well, guess what? His teammate Kawhi Leonard did that as well. He had a few nights in Mexico, and you'll see there, it's like sort of a New Balance jersey, but it's got his name and number on the back. So Jalen Rose, soft mover boss move, being a professional athlete and wearing a jersey with your own name on it.
So I got to teach people something that's really important.
What's that?
Okay. It's one thing to be rocking a jersey or a brand, and in this case, New Balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total other thing if you're an endorser, they sponsor you, and you're getting paid to do it. And for everybody that a clown Kawhi or clown Paul George, the Pacers paid Paul George millions of dollars to play basketball. The New Balance is paying Kawhi to be in commercials and to globalize his brand. And if ain't nobody else going to wear it, he got to wear it so that fans can see that it exists. So hopefully they'll go buy it. How many people out there waiting in line to go get the newest Jordan and talking about how fresh their kick collection is, but you buying all of them? You buying all of them.
Mm.
And so based on that, I got to say it's a boss move.
Well, this is definitely a soft move. I won't even wear Jalen and Jacoby merch because I don't like walking around with my name on it. Like, I feel like I'm asking for people to come up to me. It just feels like a little weird to walk around with someone with your own name on it when you're a public figure. Kawhi Leonard, that one's somewhat explainable because it's not his actual jersey, but Paul George going to Greece and wearing his actual Pacers jersey is something that I will never, ever understand. Soft move. Jalen, the Cavs did something unexpected. You know what they did? They won a basketball game in the National Basketball Association against the Miami Heat. They did it in overtime. Kevin Porter Jr. played well. Jalen, why is it the Knicks did this too? Why does it feel like teams start to play better once they make a coaching change?
No pressure, no expectations. It's like playground basketball. It's we have to be pros and we have to find a way to finish out the year. Not get injured, not ruin our reputation, and also make a mockery out of the previous regime. That's just how it works. So whenever the previous coach was there and you disrespected him the way you did based on some things that you felt that he was not able to relate to the NBA player, and even though he got a 5-year deal, John Beilein, the squad still fired him. So now as players, it's on you. It's on you to finish the season strong. That's why you see them out there bumping chests, slapping fives, enjoying themselves. New players get opportunities like Kevin Porter, who's been getting minutes all year, but now all of a sudden you jump up and have a career high with 30. Those are the type of things that take place when you make a coaching change on a lottery team.
Me and my family love New York, but there's one thing that we miss about Los Angeles that we had the pleasure of seeing on the horizon last time we were in L.A. 2 weeks ago. I said, look, guys, it's the Goodyear blimp. And they got super pumped. They love the Goodyear blimp. And sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moment. Now, it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven. Jalen Rose, yesterday the world mourned along with those in the Staples Center. Obviously the celebration, ceremony, memorial of the life of Kobe Bryant. It was emotional. It was excellent. We're going to play some sound from some of the speeches. But my first question for you is, what was your reaction while you're watching the ceremony?
My reaction is that I still can't believe that Kobe and Gigi are gone. That's my initial reaction. And I appreciated the outpour of support and love from athletes and entertainers and all of the Laker fans and fans of the NBA and anybody that feel like, you know, they were a part of, you know, the fiber of not only those two, but of all of the victims that tragically passed in the helicopter accident. I applaud Vanessa. You know, it takes a level of strength and discipline and courage to not only do what she did, but also do it on that stage, and represent her family, you know, the best way she could in such a painful circumstance. And, you know, I appreciated, you know, everybody who got on the stage and, you know, shared their memories and their thoughts and their condolences and their jokes. And for somebody that was in Los Angeles the entire time that Kobe Bryant got drafted and played out there, whether living and working, just to see, you know, the city and the world come together for such an iconic loss. It's something that is going to be on our minds for a really long time, if not forever.
Well, you mentioned Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's wife, and she gave a very moving speech. Let's listen to some of that.
Kobe was the MVP of Girl Dads, or MVD. He never left the toilet seat up. He always told the girls how beautiful and smart they are. He taught them how to be brave and how to keep pushing forward when things get tough. God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together. Babe, you take care of our Gigi. And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team. We love and miss you, Boo Boo and Gigi. May you both rest in peace and have fun in heaven until we meet again one day. We love you both and miss you forever and always. Mommy.
It's hard not to get emotional just watching that. And one thing that, not just this ceremony, but this whole experience has really brought to light is, we know Kobe Bryant is a basketball player, but he was clearly so much more than just that. And he was so committed to his daughters. Jalen, what did you think about Kobe Bryant, the dad?
So, the dad part is really strong for me. And I'm probably going to have one of the most unique opinions that you're going to hear about this. And I have the opportunity to say it, and I have the opportunity to inspire. So that's always been my goal. Here's what I think about Kobe Bryant, the dad. So he got married really young. And there are a lot of times families get broken. And remember, I'm the son of a former athlete as well. And that's how Kobe fell in love with the game. The difference in our situations is I never met my biological father. He was raised by his. And fortunately for him, he grew up in Italy. He had international experience. He spoke multiple languages. He was extremely diverse and cultured. And so when he came to the United States, in a lot of ways, it was like he was an outcast trying to find a way to fit in. And one thing he drew from his family dynamic, because his mother and father are together, I truly believe this, is that he didn't foster a broken home. And so now, not only did he live with his soulmate, he also got the chance to live day to day with his kids. And I truly bring that up is that's something I always wanted to do in my dynamic. And it was unfortunate that I came from a broken situation. I never wanted to re-foster one. And ultimately, with my two daughters, I did. So as I watch all of that, it always reminds me of how much I miss with my kids, because I was not married to their mom. I did not live in the same city and state that they've lived in for the majority of their lives. And so I appreciate that with him and with Vanessa, that they found one another. They were able to keep their family together. And that level of strength continued to elevate him, continued to elevate her, continued to elevate the kids to be the best version of themselves as a collection, as a family. And so that part of the man I always admired, because I try to tell you, he was the young old man in the league. When everybody was doing what most people that are 21 to 35 were doing, especially if you're having the success and the fame, you're able to champagne and campaign. I'm trying to tell you, Jacoby, he was not doing that. And so he embodied sacrificing all I can to be the greatest basketball player I could possibly be, even if it's better than Michael Jordan. But then the flip side, I'm going to be the greatest husband, greatest dad, greatest provider of my family. And we heard the stories yesterday how he loved movie nights and how he learned to play the piano to serenade his wife. And, you know, countless stories about how he was able to influence his family as a dad. And I say all of that to encourage all families, in particular black families, because if you look at the statistics, unfortunately, we're creating broken and single parent homes. And that is not something that I wanted to do and ended up doing. So I want to encourage people, before you start having kids, try to find your soulmate. Kids are the greatest thing ever, ever. But when they get a chance to love both of their parents in the same house at the same time, that really empowers them to a different level, in my opinion.
Jalen, that was very moving. Thank you for opening up about your experience. And we just want to say one more time, our thoughts and prayers are with all the families of all the victims of that tragic helicopter accident. Jalen Rose, we made a segment tailored just for you. You get to decide the topics during Keep It Moving. If you want to see the topics, hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep moving. Ready, Mr. Rose? First up, Sabrina Ionescu update.
Hit the brakes!
First off, I want to say that is how you say her last name. It's Ionescu. We've been saying it wrong for quite some time. Second of all, she becomes the very first player in NCAA history that has scored 2,000 points, grabbed 1,000 rebounds, and dished 1,000 assists. Jalen Rose, I want to look forward. She's been so dominant in college. Do you think she can continue this dominant play in the WNBA?
Absolutely. Why would it not translate? I was telling people this about Trae Young. You don't go from leading the league, leading the NCAA in points and assists, and not be able to do work in the NBA. Mm. It's definitely going to translate for her in the WNBA, because she got great court vision and understands her IQ is off the charts. She's a great teammate, a great leader. Makes timely plays, can score the basketball, can shoot the basketball. She could do it in all phases. Absolutely. I love her court demeanor. I appreciate how she's been able to embody her Mamba mentality. Mm-hmm. Going to the memorial, did a terrific job of contributing and speaking and paying homage, getting on an airplane to go play a collegiate basketball game, and yet still being able to accomplish a feat like this. It's an amazing tribute to her.
And also, this particular feat, this particular sort of first time ever happening, is just a really good testament to just how wide and varied her game and skill set is. I cannot wait to see her in the WNBA. Staying with college hoops, we have a big dunk from men's college basketball. Keep moving or hit the brakes. Let's check in on Florida State University's Trent Forrest as he seals a win against Louisville all over the defender. That is getting dunked on. Jalen, what do you think about this big dunk?
Jacoby, as my partner in crime, my brother, and it really pains me that sometimes you play rec games and you score 0 points.
Okay.
But your game has improved since you become a mission member of the Washington Generals.
Facts.
So I appreciate how you put on for the squad. There's a lot of footage of me playing basketball and getting scored on and getting torched by all-time great players, or even players that probably scored the only basket on me. But aren't you happy that there's no footage of me like that? They could constantly rerun
over and over again. We've been trying for nine years.
All over
not a
my
single
head
time
like
did you get dunked on. And here's why. Because you didn't play any defense. It's hard to get dunked on when you don't play any defense. Jalen, Jose Altuve is no longer a lovable little fan favorite. Jalen, he was hit by a pitch in this game, but it surely did not seem intentional. But when he was originally announced at the Tigers facility where they do spring training, here is how the crowd received him.
Jose Altuve.
Jalen, what do you think about Altuve becoming sort of the face of the scandal?
There's nothing like that old English D. It looks so classic. I'm a little disappointed. I felt like it should have been louder. We needed more signs.
I like this take.
For the Houston Astros and security to try to confiscate. So let me get this right. They're taking away people's signs now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be so thin-skinned, Houston Astros. You got caught cheating.
Yes.
Altuve was the face of it. He was the 2017 MVP, and they won the World Series the same year. They got championship rings. They got banners. They got accolades. They got appearances. They got endorsements. They got MLB contracts. They got validity. They got respect for being champions, and they flat out cheated. David, and imagine. And then being in Vegas this weekend, it reminded me of something.
What
about all of the people that were betting? What about all of those people that were betting on sports? Those outcome, each sporting event has a gambling line to it. There were people that were betting who was going to win MVP, who was going to win certain games in the World Series. And these guys were taking cheating to an entirely different level. I'm just disappointed it wasn't louder. And don't be so thin-skinned, y'all think y'all gonna take everybody's sign all year. That's just unrealistic.
It's not gonna work. And they are literally stealing signs about stealing signs. The Lakers made a pretty significant addition to their roster. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Keep gonna play quality minutes for the Lakers, and we're gonna talk a lot about that squad. Keep it moving for right now.
Okay.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Our producers are trying to force us to talk about Dak Prescott. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
It is a disrespect that Wentz got broke off and Dak didn't get paid, but if we could talk about it tomorrow and the week after and the week after and the week after that, we could keep it moving for now.
Okay.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Vontez Burfict might be back in the NFL. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
He may be eligible to get back in the NFL, but I don't necessarily know if a team is going to take a chance on him based on his history. We shall see. Meaningful football doesn't start until September. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
You will never believe what these college kids did to get some Chick-fil-A.
Hit!
Keep moving.
The brakes!
All right, so these college kids, I believe in upstate New York, the closest Chick-fil-A was 90 minutes away. But it wasn't actually the closest. There was one in an airport that was much closer. So they bought a one-way ticket, went to the airport, went through security, and then ordered all of this Chick-fil-A. Just look at what these college kids ordered. It is impressive. 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, 15 large fries, 156 nuggets, a bag of cookies, and one single lemonade. Jalen Rose, what do you think about these innovative chicken eaters?
I think it's a boss move. And the one thing about being on a collegiate campus, it's a melting pot of people from across the world, and you gain different experiences, and you hope that you're creating the leaders of tomorrow and educating so many young people that have the opportunity to reason and make quality decisions, even if it's ones like this, where they're going to circumvent the entire situation, the whole dynamic of getting some Chick-fil-A. They wanted it that bad. They found a way to make it happen. This is a boss move.
Congratulations to these innovators. Jalen Rose, we have huge NFL draft news. Huge news. Joe Burrow has small hands. Joe Burrow has small hands. Completely reconsider where you're drafting because Joe Burrow has small hands. Actually, his hands aren't that small, but smaller than normal for a quarterback in the NFL. They measured at 9 inches. Jalen, does this mean he will not be the number one pick in the draft?
I have a conspiracy theory.
Oh!
That's all this is. Just a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
His dad initially came out and said he would love to be a member of the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out and said, well, they have their process. I have my process. You know, we'll kind of see how it plays out. What this tells me is that his camp is doing a PR job of leaking things out there about Mr. Burrow that aren't so favorable. So therefore, if they could force the Bengals' hand to trade the pick, they could probably sway some of the hometown faithful that drafting a hometown kid is not in the best interest of the team. Mr. Joe Burrow, you may be trying to do the Eli Manning. If you're the Bengals, you're in the office saying, I'm not going to be able to do it. Because you're going to take them regardless.
Not going to be able to do it.
The national championship. And so you're not going to be swayed by the fact that he has small hands. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. And he also did say today at the combine that he is happy to play wherever he is picked, including his hometown Bengals. Well, Jalen, just for some reference, I have a tape measure here. And this is how they measure the hands at the combine. And my hands measure to about 10 inches, almost exactly. So maybe I should have been an NFL quarterback. Jalen, huge fight this weekend. I know you were in Vegas to watch the fight, and it was pretty surprising the way it went down with Tyson Fury dominating throughout. Well, Deontay Wilder had an immediate rematch clause in his contract that he has exercised. So he wants a third fight. He wants Tyson Fury, and he said he wants it as soon as this summer. He also said that his costume wore down his legs while he was walking into the arena. Jalen, first, the rematch. Do you think this is smart for Deontay Wilder?
First, are you proud of me that you pulled out a tape measure on television and I didn't say any jokes that could possibly get us fired?
I was honestly worried about it. I was worried about it, and this alone makes me uncomfortable and might get us fired.
Are you proud of how I handled that? There was so many Eddie Murphy type jokes.
I would have been proud if you didn't do this part, but continue.
Thank you. Okay, got it. Of course, if Deontay wants to get back into the ring with him, he's a warrior, like he said. I'm not surprised that he wants that challenge and the opportunity to get his belt back from the first guy in Tyson Fury that has had all four belts since Riddick Bowe. This don't happen often, okay? And so the Gypsy King took care of business first and foremost. He frustrated Wilder, took away his airspace, didn't give him a chance to throw that George Foreman, Michael Meyer 1-2 that he's kind of been relying on his last handful of fights. Deontay, you know, has stopped really moving his feet, stopped moving his head. He stopped throwing his jab, stopped throwing to the body, and became a pure knockout puncher. And that worked for him as somebody that really picked up boxing late in his life. But the Gypsy King made the adjustment. He took that space away. He put on some more weight, just like Deontay did. But he became a heavier version of a punching bag so he can absorb that punishment. So after watching those two guys in the ring, I can't front. I was screaming the last three rounds, stop the fight.
Really?
So right now, if it was up to me, I would be saying go in another direction and get your confidence back and then try to fight Fury. The problem is he's not going to wait for you. So if that's the case, if you're willing to go back in there and potentially take some punishment and or redeem yourself. This is the beauty of boxing, everybody. Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier. We've seen some great trilogies happen in boxing. Deontay Wilder could wow the masses by A, wanting this fight, and or B, going back in there and having an outstanding performance. Because as of today, a lot of the people would say, I would not want that problem anymore.
Jalen, what do you think about him saying that his 40-pound costume wore down his legs?
Well, we're not going to hear that as fans because that's self-inflicted. That's self-inflicted. So, he was still getting hit in that body, getting hit in that head. That ear was still bleeding. And the Gypsy King had his legs like spaghetti. We got to give him a lot of credit. We got to get Deontay back on the show to talk about it because that is my dog.
We always say we give the people what they want. So we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. Jalen Rose. It's good to talk to you, man. You know what? I don't like having
days
off.
You too, my brother.
It's nice to have a day off from time to time whenever we're dark. But I don't like it. Because I got a lot of opinions about things that happened over the weekend. You give us Monday off, we can't talk about them on Tuesday. It troubles me.
But today we have to.
Oh, we have to. We have to.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Very surprising fight. Surprising fight. There is some new news about it that obviously we will discuss during the television portion of the podcast. We've got Joel Embiid going off. Bradley Beal with 250 pieces back to back. James Harden is being slept on. No one's talking about that. And we have some really fun news about some college kids that went to Chick-fil-A, but they didn't do it like normal people. So, Jalen, obviously we discussed the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder fight itself, what happened inside the ring. Rather surprising. Not just the result, but the way that it happened was pretty surprising. But, Jalen, you were in Las Vegas. So I want to know everything that happened around the fight. I saw your outfit. You know what I mean? You got shiz. Shiz came through, gave you a haircut. I want to know, take me through the whole day.
So, I always express to people, if you've been to a Super Bowl, but not a major prize fight, in particular a heavyweight one, when belts are on the line and it's two undefeated Goliaths getting into the ring, those are like mini Super Bowls that happen really often and more than once a year, if I could give somebody a visual. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be, 75,000 people there. But as long as it's at the MGM Grand in particular, it gives it that level of nostalgia. For those that don't know, that brand basically owns the strip. They own probably 7 or 8 casinos. So like it just creates a level of nostalgia. And so the who's who are going to be there. So I got a chance to see Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. I got a chance to rub elbows with the who's of the industry. Shout to Top Rank Boxing, Bob, Arum, and Todd the Buff, who continues to show me love over the past decade. As you know, I used to work with them. Had prime tickets. My wife Molly and I were there. Couple of colleagues were in the building. Max was there working. Stephen A. was sitting nearby. Pistons owner and my good friend Tom Gores was there. Touching all of the bases, Jacoby. And
great.
So the gentleman come to the ring. First and foremost, the Gypsy King. A great showman. Every time he enters the ring, it reminds me of Rocky living in America, because he's done that before. So now I'm enthusiastic about how he enters with such style and such grace. And for those that don't know, his nickname comes from the fact that his grandfather and father were both fighters. And so as he gets into the ring, one of the largest men I've seen, Jacoby, standing there, 6'9", 273 pounds.
Yeah.
And
That sounds like you during the Kangaroo Jalen days. You heard? That sounds like you during the Kangaroo Jalen days. 6'9", 273
pounds. Yeah, he got a dad bod. No doubt.
Yeah, I was looking at him like, I think I look better with my shirt off than this guy. And he is not a heavyweight champion.
And that's what I love about sports, because he's somebody that grew up in the game and has had life turbulence happen like all of us. Mm-hmm. He is, sounds to be a lot more dire and dealing with anxiety and being suicidal and being on drugs and mm-hmm. being 400 pounds at one period of his life. So he's kind of able to carry, you know, all of that into the ring against a guy that had just knocked him down previously twice in their first fight. And like I said, that night he got up like the Undertaker. So you put on that extra weight, it becomes like a immovable body. It comes like an immovable punching bag. And all of a sudden now, boom, here comes the Bronze Bomber. He has a Darth Vader outfit on, Jacoby. Red eyes. It continued to blink in and out with the colors. Did you see that? Is that Star Wars?
That translated. That is not Star Wars. That is just a Deontay Wilder just leveled up from the last time. Last time he had the jewels. This time he had the full mask, the crown, the shoulder pads, the whole thing.
Yeah, he went all the way in. It looked more like a Terminator / Darth Vader. Is that fair?
Kinda. I mean, you've never seen a single second of Star Wars. I don't think you're allowed to use those kind of references, but whatever.
That's blasphemous for me. Okay. Yeah. So I definitely appreciated him celebrating Black History Month, and you know, how he was really able to embody the culture. I appreciate that. And you know, I love Deontay. You know, mm-hmm. I love a couple of people in his camp. So win, lose, or draw, I'm ride or die with him. Now, ding, 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 the fight starts. And the first thing I'm thinking is, in Deontay's last few fights, for me, it seems like he stopped moving his feet, stopped moving his head, stopped going to the body, and was going for that George Foreman, Michael Moore 1-2 punch against his opponents. Mm-hmm. In his previous fight, we talked about it on this show, and I picked him to win this fight by knockout. He was able to get away with that because he lost every round of that fight, but he ultimately has dynamite in his right hand and he floored the opponent. The Gypsy King, not only was he smothering and suffocating the Bronze Bomber, but he was getting inside of that 1-2. And he was bullying him, Jacoby. Like, it was a beat down.
It really was.
I saw times where Deontay was keeping his elbow low because he did not want to get hit in that body, which led to his first knockout, okay? And his ear was bleeding. He was taking the kind of beat down that I can't lie. And I was sitting maybe 6th or 7th row. I was standing up the last 2 or 3 rounds and people were upset at me because I am tall and I was sitting close and I was screaming something that a lot of fight fans didn't want to hear. Stop the fight.
Really?
Stop the fight.
Really?
Stop the fight. I done been to way too many prize fights and watched way too many on TV. Stop the fight. I was saying it. People was giving me the sit down hand signals. I'm telling you, dog.
At that point in the fight, I didn't see a roadmap in which Wilder came back and won that fight. You know what I mean? Like, there was a sort of a predetermined result at that point in the fight. Because he had that look in his eyes like he wasn't really 100% there. And I think some of those early shots in the first and second round just kind of rocked him a little bit. And, you know, especially with the bleeding from the ear.
His legs were spaghetti.
Yeah.
And beyond being knocked downed a couple of times, he also was off balance and fell down a few more times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like he was sloppily punched drunk.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so I know Breland, who, by the way, an Olympian. I'm old enough to remember him as a fighter in his corner, throwing in the towel and people upset about it. He was about to get one of those Mike Tyson, Trevor Burbick knockouts. And that was going to not only potentially kill him, because I remember when Ray Mancini and Dooku Kim were fighting on, I think it was ABC when I was young. And he tragically died in the ring. I was hoping at that point that he didn't take that sort of a beating to where he would not even be able to consider a third fight. And so they, to me, saved that opportunity for happening. And I'm really surprised that he didn't end up in the hospital. Because the way he got beat down, I'll still be in the hospital. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't leave the hospital. I wouldn't want to fight him again. That's just me. But those dudes are gladiators and warriors, and I always appreciate the way they sacrifice themselves to earn a living. It is brutal to participate in, but it's glorious to watch the sweet science, especially at the highest level.
Well, big shout to Shiz that flew out to Vegas to give you a haircut. Always big shout to Shiz. Right now, call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us voicemails. We're going to take your calls tomorrow and give the people what they want. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. Got to give the people.